Right, morning. Today's daf in Masechet Nida is daf Nun Hey. We're back. We're going to finish the parak today of Bas Siman. Okay. Yesterday and today are going to be two the more difficult dafim of the parak and certainly of the Masechet. And what made yesterday's daf so difficult is the Gemara's configuration of a scenario of a particular case, meaning the basic ideas of the Gemara yesterday are pretty straightforward. That we have the idea yesterday introduced us of kesem, that if a woman sees a stain on her undergarments, so she's not minatar, she's not a nida, she's minatar, she's not a zava, but nevertheless, we treat it like as if she was a roa. We treat it like a regular discharge of a woman, and therefore the woman is going to be tamenida or tameziva, depending on where she is. If she sees a large stain on her undergarments, so there was a sheet of Rav Meir that says that if the stain was large enough for it to encompass three grisim va'od, so then the woman's going to be a zav gadola because there is that consideration, that possibility that she bled on three consecutive days during her Yemei Ziva. Okay, that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. We learned in our Mishnah the opinion of the Tanakama, which we later identified as Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos. He disagrees with that. His rule is that you cannot, ein b'ksamim mishum zava, kesem cannot result in her becoming a zava gadola. That is his opinion. Yesterday's daf became somewhat complicated by the fact that we had a machlokis in the brisa between Rav Yehuda ben Agra and the Chachamim, and the scenario was which one, where the woman did a bedika during Ben Hashmashos. It was just a question of whose Ben Hashmashos she did a bedika with. It was a machlokis yesterday. I'm not going to go through the whole thing again, but there's a machlokis between... I assume so. Let me just give a basic overview, and then we could talk after about the details. There was a debate in the Gemara about which Ben Hashmashos she did an examination with. Right, we went over the basic machlokas of what is Ben Hashmashos between Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's an interval, it's a time interval. Let's call it 9 minutes. Rabbi Yossi says it's keharifayin. Rabbi Yossi's Ben Hashmashos comes at a later point in time than Rabbi Yehuda. You remember yesterday the Gemara said that perhaps one way of explaining the debate or the contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra versus Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra is that perhaps what they're arguing about is when exactly that second Ben Hashmashos period comes. Does it overlap with the first Ben Hashmashos period, or is it at a later point in time altogether? And that could resolve possibly a discrepancy between Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra. Okay.
Why we care about the Ben Hashmashos of this versus that is because
Well, because, why do we care? So the reason why we've cared so much is because in the scenario where she had a kesem during the Ben Hashmashos, or if she, let's say not even a kesem, let's say she was roeh, let's say she saw during Ben Hashmashos, so we don't know what day to attribute that to. It could be attributed to the day that we entered into Ben Hashmashos, or the night that Ben Hashmashos is going into, because Ben Hashmashos is this twilight period where we don't know which day it is. So if she had a discharge of blood during the Ben Hashmashos period, so then that's going to be treated as if she had a discharge on 2 days. So that's one discharge equaling 2 days.
What's the difference between the two Ben Hashmashos? They're going to do the same anyway.
Well, because the scenario was one in which she did an internal examination during the entire Ben Hashmashos of Rav Yehuda, but not during the Ben Hashmashos of Rav Yossi. So basically, and this is where the Gemara got confusing, if you subscribe, which the Gemara suggested that Rebbe does feel this way, if you feel that Rav Yossi's Ben Hashmashos is nothing, meaning it's nighttime, it's not a Ben Hashmashos, and she did an internal examination during the entire interval of Rav Yehuda, so then good. So then, in other words, Ben Hashmashos is taken out of the equation, and so therefore, there's no possibility that she had any type of bleeding during Ben Hashmashos. Okay, that was one of the scenarios that we got to yesterday, and that's a basic overview of what we saw yesterday.
Ben
Harabai means afternoon, right? Torah is describing the Karban Tamid. Yesterday's Parsha says that's afternoon. Ben Hashmashos is after the afternoon, right? As it's a transition.
Okay.
And do you think that the Rabbi Yossi here is the same Rabbi Yossi who has the Bein Hashmashos?
Right. I was discussing that after the daf as well. I'm not sure. I'm unsure about that. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara now. We're on Nun Gimel Amud Beis and Tana Rabbanan. We're about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. It's right in the middle of the line. The line starts off with Muriyasa L'chol Davar. Right, one last thing that we went over yesterday is one more point about Kesem is that if she sees blood on her garment, so again, another major point which is needs to be reviewed, I mentioned this yesterday at length, is that if a woman sees blood but she doesn't experience the blood, she doesn't have argasha, minotaur, she's not a nida. Right? It's the nida designation of a woman is not just a ria, but ria with a argasha. It's a discharge of blood with a sensation of that blood coming out, right? Some sort of physical sensation. So here, if she only finds blood on her undergarment, that's called a kasem, and then she's only a nida mid the rabbanan. Okay. We discussed yesterday, how far back do we go? Meaning, we know that the blood is discovered now, but that also probably means that the blood's been here for some time. How far back do we go in terms of giving her the label of being a nida? So there was the opinion, this was a machlokus in the Braisa we saw yesterday. According to Rebbe, we go back to the last time that she laundered her clothing. Okay? Because otherwise we simply don't know, so we just simply move it backwards. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar of the Braisa says it can't be. And why can't it be? Because he says, I can't imagine that her status of Nida via a Kesem, which is only a Nida de Rabbanan, should be more chamor than her being a Nida min HaTorah. Her being a Nida min HaTorah, we're going to go back 24 hours maximum, right? That's what the first thing we learned in the Masechta, that a woman is only going to be Tamim L'Mafreya 24 hours backwards, retroactively. And now this woman's a Nida because she saw a Kesem, which doesn't even make her a Nida min HaTorah, it only makes her Nida min HaRabbanan. And you want to go further back retroactively? He says it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't conform to any type of logic. So therefore, Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, Lo Tehei, Lo ye kisma chamor meriyasa. Her kesem shouldn't be any more stringent than her ri'iya, and that the and they says and which by the way he doesn't make this point clearly. Rashi does. We're only going to go back 24 hours, even on the kesem. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. We're now continuing in the Gemara. Ra'asa kesem achakach ra'asa dam. Tolem kisma meriyasa me'es le'es divrei Rebbe. Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer Yomo. Now. There is a disagreement over here in the Braisa, but the basic point is agreed upon, and that's the following. As we've already discussed, when a woman sees a kesem, she's not a nida in a Torah, she's only a nida in the Rabbanan. Okay. Because it didn't come with a hargasha. But what if the following? What if she saw a kesem followed closely by an actual discharge? An actual discharge with a hargasha, with a physical sensation. In other words, with the whole nine yards, wherever that expression comes from, because it's 10 yards for in order to get the new set of first downs. But what the probably not a football expression. But in other words, so she saw a kesem, and within proximity proximate to that, she actually had a ria. She had actually had a bona fide ria. The basic point that this Bryce is going to make is: here's what we can do. Attribution. We can attribute the kesem to the ri'iyah. Meaning we're basically going to attach the kesem to the ri'iyah. And so, we're basically going to say that that kesem and that ri'iyah are all part of the same thing. The same basic discharge. When can we make this connection? So that's the only point that's up for debate. According to Rebbe, you have 24 hours. So that means she discovered her kesem on a Sunday, right? Let's just say high noon. She discovered her kesem. And then a short 12 hours later, right, that night, right, she actually has a ri'iyah. So according to Rebbe, they're connected. The kesem and the ri'iyah are connected. It's all basically the same thing, okay? And so that would be a scenario where we're going to treat the kesem like a ri'iyah mamish, okay? And Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar, who disagrees, but he only disagrees on one technical point, and that is, how do you count a day? Not 24 hours in this regard, but a day in this regard is counted only as a halachic day, meaning starts at the night and ends the next night. So in the example that I gave, where she had a kesem on high noon at 12 o'clock, And then 12 hours later, Sunday night, midnight, she has an actual Re'iyah. So then according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, we will not connect those two. Meaning the Kesem is a totally different event, it's a different phenomena, and what she's experiencing now is a Nida. Now, Amar Rabbi Nir Dvarav Midvarai, Shehu Mitzukenes, I'm sorry, Shehu Mitakna V'ani Ta'avta, Me'avta. So, Mitakna, so, I'm sorry, V'ani Me'avta. So, and Rabbi says, you know what? I take it back. I'm going to go with Rabbi Shimon Lazar's position because I'm only messing her up and he's rectifying her. Stay tuned. We're going to explain what that means in just a moment. With the Gemara immediately recoils at the suggestion. The Gemara says, "Avsi ma'avasla." What do you mean? He is messing her up. I'm a Ravina epoch. So Ravina says, just switch it around, flip it around. Meaning, what Rebbe said was, I'm making more sense than Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rav Nachman Amar lo olam lo tepuch shu mesakin hilchasa lidei ziva ve'ani ma'avas hilchasa lidei ziva. And Rav Nachman says, no, not necessarily. Meaning, you can leave his statement as it is. And what he could mean to say is that I am being mesakin her. He's being mesakin her towards ziva, while I am. But I'm messing up regarding Ziva. Now, what does all this mean? So basically, it means like this. Let's see if we can say this outside. Look, this halacha of connecting a kesem with a re'iyah, right? What's the basic idea behind it? It's the following. Is that, generally speaking, a kesem in of itself, we're going to treat like a nida. Why? Because there is blood. It came out of her. She didn't feel it. She didn't sense it. She didn't have this hargasha. But the basic explanation is, it came out of her, and how come it came without a hargasha? Okay, that's an issue, but midrabanan, she's a nida. Okay, or what? In other words, she is whatever the day dictates. If it's a yom nida, she's a nida. If it's a yamei ziva, she's a zava. Good. That's the basic idea. But mina Torah, she's really nothing. Meaning it's without a hargasha, it's really nothing. Fine. But if you see this kesem in conjunction with an actual re'iyah, at that point now, we have a fairly plausible explanation. Meaning that this kesem must be some sort of precursor. It's a foreshadow to our actual re'iyah. So once they come in with a conjunction with one another, according to Rabbi 24 hours, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, within the same halachic day, however, whichever way you want to say it, but once they come within one another, so basically now the kesem is an appendage, an attachment to her actual re'iyah. Okay, that's, and we pretty much said it already, but just to reiterate, that's the basic outline of this particular halacha. The only point of disagreement is, how do you connect it, when can you connect the two? Does it have to be within 24 hours of one another, or does it have to be within the same halachic day? Now, let's think about this for just a moment outside. If we're connecting the two, so that means, how are we treating this kesem? We're treating the kesem as a precursor to our actual discharge. But if we're treating it as a precursor to our actual discharge, that means the kesem itself that was discovered on her undergarments is going to be treated as if it's the beginning of her discharge. Okay. So if it came 20 hours ago, according to Rebbe, 22 hours ago, it's the beginning of her Nida. Right. So let's go over that case I illustrated. She discovers her kesem at high noon. 12 o'clock on a Sunday, she discovers her kesem. And then that night, she actually experiences a re'iyah. Now, according to Rebbe, what's day one of her Nida cycle? Let's assume that she's way after her Yemei Ziva, right? And we're talking now about when is the first possible Nida day. So according to Rebbe, Sunday, thank you. Sunday is her first day of her Nida cycle. Do you understand how strange that is? Meaning, if you think about it and think this through, it's so remarkably strange that we're calling a kesem day, meaning you have 2 days next to one another. A kesem day, which is Sunday, and then Sunday night, which is really Monday, is the re'iyah. And putting those 2 days side by side one another, according to Rebbe, Sunday is day one, even though she only experienced the kesem, and Monday, where she actually had the re'iyah, oh, that's day two. Okay? That's how it would work out according to Rebbe. According to Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar, no. Meaning, I'll only combine the two, only if they come on the same halachic day. And if they both come on Sunday.
But what's the significance of the ketam then? There's no significance to it then.
Right. No, meaning it'll be significant. She'll be tmeya. But in other words,
in terms of nafkamina, that makes no difference whether she saw a ketam or not.
Right, but according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, if a woman sees a kesem and the woman then has a re'iyah, the kesem cannot be viewed as day one of her status of being a nida, meaning she'll be tamea, but in other words, calling it day one, it's not a re'iyah, it's not an actual discharge of blood. Okay,
rabbinically
she'll be a nida, but that's not actual day one. So now the difference between the two comes out in the following scenario. In the case I just painted, where she saw at 12 on high noon on Sunday, and then midnight Sunday night. So according to Rebbe, let's start with Rebbe. So according to Rebbe, Sunday is really day one. So now Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So in other words, we're going to count 7 days. So the last day of her being Anida will be Shabbos. Saturday night. Again, all this is min haTorah. She could tov on the mikvah. Right. Sunday, now, if she bleeds, that's not dam nida. That's just dam ziva. Okay? According to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, those 2 days, meaning, let's go back to Sunday. High noon kesem, Sunday midnight re'iyah, they're not connected. So now, what's the first day of her being anida? Well, the kesem is just a kesem. So the first day of her being Anita is the actual Re'iyah. That'll be Monday. So Monday will be the first day of her Re'iyah. When is she going to be finished with her 7 days of Yemei Nida? If Monday's the first day, she won't be finished until Sunday. Sunday night, she'll tov on the mikvah. She'll be with her husband Sunday night. So in other words, so according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, any bleeding that occurs on Sunday is just simply the seventh day of her Nida. So this is what Rebbe's saying. Let's go over according to Rav Nachman, right? Shehu mesakin hilchosali deziva ve'anima avas hilchosali deziva, meaning that his position sets her up better, so to say, or I don't know about better is the right word, but sets her up for ziva, while my position does not set her up for ziva. Okay. By minei Rebbe Zera may Rebbe Asik summon srichem hefsek tahara o lo. Okay, now, next. Look, when a woman sees a kesem, so she's tamea. Okay? And that situation needs to be resolved. So again, depends on where she experienced that kesem. If she experienced it during her nida day, she's a nida. If she experienced it during her ziva day, she's a zava. Fine. And no, none of this is midaraisa. Which
even tamea is not deraita? If she says kesem, kesem doesn't make her tamea.
Not minatara. But Midrabanan does.
Midrabanan, if she's kissing once, what's she supposed to do?
So if it's during her, you may, huh?
If she sees kissing once only, forget about Zava or Nida or whatever.
Right.
One time.
So she's Tamea.
And what about the relationship with her?
Prohibited.
Prohibited.
Well, again, if it occurred during her Yemei Ziva, again, going back to a time when they actually counted the Yemei Ziva and the Yemei Nida, if it occurred during her Yemei Ziva, so then she'll be fine. Now, when I say fine, it means that she'll be Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. She'll wait 1 day in correspondence to that 1 day, and then she'll go to Mikvah. Sure. And if it's Yemei Nida, same story. She'll count the 7 days of her being a Nida, and then she'll tovel the Mikvah.
And that's if she doesn't see blood.
Right.
This is if it's in Yemei. This machlekes is in if she sees the kesem in the Yemei Nida, and then she does the hargasha and the ria.
Yeah, in other words, previously we were talking about where she had a kesem followed then by a real ria. Real meaning it was discharged, she felt it, there was a hargasha. Okay, now the question on the table goes like this. if she sees, if she just experiences a kesem, meaning she doesn't have a hargasha, she just saw blood on her undergarment, and she is a, whatever she is, a nidor or zava. Now, does she need hafsik tahara? This, I think, is the first time the Gemara uses this terminology. It's interesting. In halacha, this is like very common terminology. When you learn hilchas nida, you talk about the hafsik tahara at length. I don't know if we've actually encountered the term in the Gemara before this point in time. Now, what is hafsik tahara? It's very simple. It's very straightforward. A woman's, let's go back to a classic standard Torah example, where a woman actually has a ri'as dam. She has a discharge of blood with a hargasha. It now introduces her to her yemei nida. She's going to be a nida for 7 days. So let's say Sunday, she sees for the first day, and she experiences the blood with a hargasha. She has a sensation. She'll be a nida from Sunday through Shabbos. Okay. Saturday night, again, all min haTorah. This only works min haTorah, not nowadays. Saturday night, she'll tovel the mikvah. Okay, now, is it that simple? One important caveat, but it's important. And that is the following. She has to know that she stopped bleeding. Meaning, now that she started bleeding, and now it's her yemei nida, she has to know that the bleeding has stopped. So how does she do it? So the magic words are hefsek tahara. Now, they're not just magic words. Meaning, hefsek tahara is an internal examination of her own body to know that the bleeding stopped. So what she's going to do is, Saturday afternoon, right? She's going to do an internal examination as it's now approaching the evening to know that the bleeding has, in fact, stopped. Okay, and perhaps, again, the Gemara is not super clear about how it wants the hefsek tahara to be done. Perhaps she'll do the hefsek tahara during the entire Bein HaShemashos period. The Gemara made such a suggestion the other day. Okay, so I don't want to get too involved in details, but conceptually understand. In other words, she has to do an internal examination at the end simply to know that the bleeding has stopped. If she doesn't do such an internal examination, so you can't just simply assume, okay, 7 days are up, okay, now she can tovel the mikvah. You don't know yet if the bleeding has stopped. You have to do an internal examination in order to make sure that the bleeding has in fact stopped. Okay, so in other words, it's not just simply she'll tovel the mikvah Saturday night, it's that she'll do an internal examination Saturday afternoon, assuming that it's a clear examination, she'll then tovel the mikvah on Saturday night. So far, so good? Okay, now the Gemara wants to know as follows. Look, we now have built into the system a not just a nida min haTorah, but nida min haRabbanan, where a woman, if she discovers blood on her undergarments, is now a nida mishum kesem. And so the Gemara's question now is pretty straightforward. Do we have the same halacha of hefsek tahara over here as we did if she's an actual nida? So really, without seeing, the Gemara doesn't really discuss what the issues are, but really you can hear both sides of the question. On one hand, why not? Meaning, if by a nida min haTorah you're going to require hefsek tahara, so here too as well. In other words, when the rabbis instituted that she'll be a nida, even in this case where it was only a kesem discovered on a garment, okay, but we'll treat it like she's a regular nida. And just like a regular nida requires hafsek tahara, so this one would as well. That's you can argue it one way. How can you argue it the other way? Again, it's pretty straightforward. Because when she's an actual nida, she knows that blood is coming out of her body. She has to then somehow come to positive information to know that the blood stopped. So that's through hafsek tahara. That's through internal examination. When she only discovers blood in her undergarment, she's not even sure the blood came out of her body. Meaning, the likelihood is, yes, it did. But min haTorah, she's not an Ida. So she's not, so to say, free-flowing right now. So maybe there's no requirement to then have to have a hafsek tahara to know the bleeding stopped when we're not even sure the bleeding ever started. Okay, so those are, I outlined two possible ways to view this, and this is exactly the Gemara's question. So does she need a hefsek tahara? So tzrichin hefsek tahara lo ishtik v'lo amaleh v'lo midi. So the answer was, I don't know. And the answer by I don't know comes in the form of silence. Zimnan ashkech ediyasev kamer tola b'kisma b'riyasa me'es le'es divrei Rabbi. Now, he finds himself going over the following halacha. Now, you can be tola, you can assign a kesem with a re'iyah within a 24-hour period, right? The halacha that we learned just a couple of lines earlier in the Gemara. Divrei Rebbe. And Rebbe's position was, remember, that if you have a kesem within 24 hours of Re'iyah, so then you can do an attribution. You can attach the kesem to the Re'iyah. So Amr Shlakish Vehu Shabbatka. Rav Yochanan Amr Afa Bishlab Batka. Now, is that with or without a Bedika? Rav Yochanan says, Afa Pishla Batka, even if she didn't do a Bedika, you could still make such an attribution. So Amalei Mechal Gesamim, Tzrichin Hef Sektara. Oh, did you just see what happened? Meaning, in this machlokus between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, is that with or without a Bedika? And Rav Yochanan says it's even without a Bedika, but did you just see what was underlining the two positions? Really, you should do a Bedika. Meaning, if you found a Kesem, really what the woman should do is she should be bodek. She should do an internal examination. So you see that even with a kesem, there should be a hafsek tahara.
But this is at the beginning, right?
Huh?
This is at the beginning.
Yeah.
But the question is, what difference does it make? She's going to be nidah anyway. What's the point of doing it?
No, the hafsek tahara will be to...
No, this is not at the end. This is at the beginning. You're saying when she has a kesem, she has to check herself, not after 7 days, but that day, no? What are they arguing? Is it day one or day seven that you should be doing?
No, in this particular discussion, it's the question of Hefsek Tahara comes on day seven. Meaning, right, day, you're correct. Day one is not going to, Hefsek Tahara is not going to help.
So this is the argument day one.
How do you know that day seven? If it's only
guessing. Well, they're going to count, in other words, from wherever. Whatever day seven ends up, so then they're going to do a bedika. All right, so it's take a look at Rashi inside. I mean, it's clear that it's day seven that she's doing that she would do a hafsek tahara. Correct. So, but in other words, in the discussion between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, it becomes very clear that there was a hafsek tahara that's required. Amrlei in. So he said, oh yeah, that's a good point. So he says, wait a second, you know, but I've been asking this question often. Meaning, after a kesem, is there a hafsek tahara requirement? I asked you that, and you never gave me an answer. But maybe because you weren't focused, meaning, when you went over the machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, you kept saying over the machlokas, but you weren't focused on the other point, which is, oh yeah, hafsek tahara is required. So I'm relay in agashit fayasili. He says you're absolutely right. I wasn't focused so much on this question. Okay. Back to the discussion. Hafsek tahara is required. Meaning after a kesem, which basically, I mean, not to turn this into a halachic discussion, because I really don't want to, but basically, our women nowadays don't have that hargash experience that was described in the time of the Gemara, and in the Shulchan Aruch, so basically all of our women are really more roeh kesem than they are actual nidah min haTorah, but a hafsek tahara is still required.
Does the size of the kesem matter?
Yes, that's the eighth parak of nidah, we'll talk about that. Haroe yom yiralef bein hashmashos tchilas nida v'sof nida.
I'm sorry, the prepared avon, the kesem from all practical purposes is considered that
correct. Correct. Absolutely correct. And the eighth parak, when we talk more, the entire eighth parak, which I sound like it's like the biggest parak, it's two blot of Gemara, the eighth parak of nida goes over some of the leniencies that we have regarding kesem. There are going to be leniencies. Okay, we know this information, we've gone over it time and again. The schedule is 7-11s. First 7 days that a woman sees blood, she's a nida for all 7 days, whether she sees or whether she does not see, she's a nida. And then the next 11 days after that are what's called Yemei Ziva. She sees blood during the Yemei Ziva. 1 day or 2 days, she's a Zava Katana. 3 consecutive days, she's a Zava Gadola. Once she's a Zava Gadola, now she needs to count Shiv and Akim. She needs to count 7 clean days. And on the 7th day, she'll tov in the mikvah, and that night she'll go back, she'll be back with her husband. And she will not resume her Nida count until she can resolve her Shiv and Akim, her 7 clean days. Okay? At this point in time, that information should be like rolling off the tongue. The Mishnah deals with the following scenario. Haro Yom Yedalev Bein Hashmashos. Let's say she sees on day 11, but Bein Hashmashos. So that means that as the 11th day is turning into the 12th day, that twilight period between days 11 and day 12, she sees blood. And here we're talking about a real Re'iyah. She had a discharge and she had a Hargasha. The problem is now a very simple problem. Which day did she bleed? Was it day 11 or day 12? And that makes all the difference in the world. If it's day 11, that's just Ziva blood. And because it's day 11, it's only one day of bleeding, she's only a Zava Katana. If she bled on day 12, that's the beginning of a Nida cycle, where now she's going to be Tamea for the next 7 days. Well, here, she bled during Bein Hashmashos. Bein Hashmashos is both. It's both day 11 and day 12. Or it's a Safek, however you want to say it. Tchilas Nida, Visof Nida. Tchila Ziva, Visov Ziva. The beginning of Nida, the end of Nida, the beginning of Ziva, the end of Ziva. Now the Gemara is going to point out that the Mishnah is a little confusing in the way it expresses it. Meaning the way it should be expressed is, it's the end of Ziva, it's the beginning of Nida. Right? Meaning it could be one of those two. Okay, so the Gemara, when we get to the Gemara in just a moment, the Gemara is going to work on the language of the Mishnah a little bit, but that's the basic idea. Yomar Bein Mazach of Yom Shemayim L'Nekeva. And we could do this another way. Meaning after, when we give birth to a boy, so we know for the 40 days, the blood that comes out of her is going to be Dam Tahor. From day 8 to day 40, it's Dam Tahor. After day 40, what is she now? She's Anida. What if she bleeds at the twilight period from day 40 to day 41? Same story. We don't know. Bein Hashmashos, and the same thing for a woman who just gave birth to a girl, where she bleeds Bein Hashmashos, day 80 to day 81. So Bein Hashmashos, the Kulan Hare Elu To'os. So what are they, says the Mishnah? They're confused. They're confused, understandably. Because they don't know whether the bleeding that they did was day 11 bleeding or day 12 bleeding. So now she literally does not know. Is she a Zava Ketana or is she a Nida? She's a Toa. She's confused. What's the solution? We'll get to that in a moment. Amar of Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua says, look, let's prioritize our time. We have a limited amount of time. I feel this way every day in Daf. So let's prioritize, says Rabbi Yeshua. Look, it's not going to understood, and it makes for a confused woman, understood. But before dealing with her, why don't we deal with women who have a regular schedule and still need our attention? So in other words, head of your question is excellent. Meaning, so what's going to, how do we resolve this woman's situation? So Rav Yehoshua says, I'll tell you what. It's a fair question, but put it on the back burner. Because I first want to deal with women who have quote unquote a regular schedule, and they need our attention. Now, the Mishnah stops over there. It's enjoyable. Because what the Mishnah doesn't tell us is, who's Rabbi Yeshua talking about? Which women, quote-unquote, have a regular schedule that need our attention and need our time and consideration? All right, so hold that thought for just a moment. First, we went through a little bit of Gemara. Tchilas Nida V'sof Nida, Tchilas Nida V'sof Zivahi. So the Gemara is simply bothered by the language of the Mishnah. Isn't the Mishnah's point is that when she bleeds on day 11, going into day 12, it should be the beginning of Nida or the end of Ziva? So I'm Rav Chista, Achi Kamar, Haro Yunyad Al, Bein Hashmashos, Tchilas Nida V'sof Ziva, Uvishvili Nida Sa, Sof Nida, Tchilas Ziva. Okay, so he cleans up the language of the Mishnah, so to say. That's the way to read the Mishnah. I'm not sure if he's actually changing the Nusach of the Mishnah or just helping us understand how to read the Mishnah. Okay. Now, I'm Rav Shuach Tematak Nitzah Shotos, Hani Shotos Ninu, Taos Ninu. So the Gemara starts off right away by, look, I understand Rav Yeshua's basic point. He's referring to the women in our Mishnah as a Shota. That's a strong language. And that's not the correct label. Because they're not Shota. Shota means someone who's foolish. This woman's not foolish. She certainly didn't control when she's going to bleed. Her bleeding during the Bein Hashmashos period is not, it's not foolishness, it's ignorance. So the Gemara says, okay, so Taos Ninu, Ela Tini Taos. So here, this sounds like an actual correction of the Mishnah, so don't read it as Shota, but read it as Toa. In other words, she's confused. Okay, now, let's deal with Hetty's question. So this woman now, who doesn't know whether she's at beginning of Nida or the end of her Ziva, because she bled during the Beit HaShemeshes period. So what's her solution? So the answer is, close your Gemara Nida and open up your Gemara in Erechin. The Gemara in Erechin, I don't know if you remember, wasn't that long ago, actually spent a blot of Gemara going over this halacha. It was an awkward placement of this halacha, meaning you would expect these halachas to be taught in Masechta Nida, but the Gemara in Erechin, you remember that parak that talked about the ranges, right? We talked about minimum and maximum range of Erechin, 1 to 50, 1 shekel to 50 shkalim. So then we talked about minimum and maximum, and one of the Mishnayos over there talked about how many days does this woman now to experience blood-free in order for her to reset her clock. So you remember the Gemara in Erechin over there, Daf Ches, thereabouts. Yeah? Okay. You go to Gemara in Erechin. The Gemara in Erechin addresses the woman who is a Toa, is a confused woman and does not know. What are we going to be spending the rest of today's daf learning? We're going to be learning about the women who have a regular schedule. And they still need our attention. And you'll see why in just a moment. So, Ditanya. So now we're going to learn a Braisa. In this Braisa, we'll take us through the rest of this parak. And basically, the structure of the Braisa is so straightforward. Every case is going to require thought, but the cases are very straightforward. We're going to talk about now women who are on a fixed, regular schedule, but the schedule is not what we would consider to be a normal menstrual schedule. Normal menstrual schedule has a woman going and having a menstrual cycle once a month, approximately. Right? That's what we would call a normal menstrual schedule. Here, the Bryce is going to be dealing with women who are on a fixed schedule, but slightly strange. And the Bryce is going to go through the following. It's such a streamlined Braisa. The first case is going to be where the woman sees one day, does not see the next day. Sees one day, does not see the next day. Okay? The next case in the Braisa is going to be the woman who sees 2 days and then abeyance for 2 days. Sees 2 days, doesn't see for 2 days. Then the next case in the Braisa is 3 and 3. Next case in the Braisa is 4 and 4. Okay? And you're getting it. And the Braisa is going to go all the way to 10 and 10? I think so. Okay. Yeah, 10 and 10. And basically now, knowing all the information that we know, it's just a question of plugging in everything that we know in order to get through all these cases. So let's start with case number one, Ditanya. Yom Echad Tameh v'Yom Echad Tahor. And by the way, this entire braisa, Nun Dalam and Beis, is basically what Rabbi Yoshua was talking about. When Rabbi Yoshua and the Mishnah said, before we talk about the women who are Toah, let's talk about the women who are Pikchos, wise women, intelligent women, women who have a regular schedule, but need to be thought through. So all these cases over here are talking about the women that Rabbi Yoshua was addressing. So, Yom Echad Tameh v'Yom Echad Tahor. So a woman who sees day on, day off, day on, day off. Okay? I understood it's extraordinarily unlikely, but what's the story? Mishamenes Shmishi v'Leilo Imo v'Arba Leilos mitoch Shmona Asar Yom. Okay. So, when can she have relations with her husband? Okay. So, day on, day off. Now, if you... right, I charted on my Gemara... I charted all these cases. I'm sure he's got in the notes.
Just from the beginning of the Nida?
Yeah. In other words, from day one, from the time that she started bleeding, she went on a schedule of day on, day off, day on, day off.
How many times?
Huh?
How many times?
Indefinitely. That was her schedule. When does she ovulate? Okay, so day on, day off. So we know with the following. So again, all this is information we know. It's just plugging it in. The first 7 days she's a Nida, whether she bleeds or whether she doesn't bleed. So from days 1 through day 7, so she's a Nida. Now, if you're following well, day 1 is an on day, meaning a bleeding day. So are days 3, 5, and 7. Okay, but again, all 7 days she's prohibited to her husband. Day 8.
Right,
7 is the last day of Yemei
Nida. Right, day 7 is the last day of Yemei Nida. And as we just learned in the Gemara a couple lines ago, she'll do her hafsek tahara, she'll tova the mikvah, and she can be with her husband.
For a day.
On day 8. Now day 9, she's bleeding. Now day 9 is already her second day in her Yemei Ziva. She's a Zava Katana. So day 9, she's bleeding. So day 10, Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. Okay, so day 10, she has to wait. She'll tova the mikvah on day 10. The night of day 11, she could be with her husband. Day 11, well, that's a bleeding day. Day 12, you get the point, right? And we're just going to continue on that cycle. So now, on which days can she be with her husband? So day 8, we already discussed, as well as the night of day 11, the night of day 13, the night of day 15, and the night of day 17. Okay. So far, so good? So four of her 18-day schedule of Yemei Nida versus Yemei Ziva, so she will be able to be with her husband for day 8 and four of the next 11 days.
Seven
days. Thank you. So, Arbalez mitoch shmona asayom. V'im haisa ro mi ba'erev, eina meshemesh eselosh mi nebava. Now, what if her re'iyah comes at night? Meaning, in the case that we just illustrated, we had it that she started bleeding in the morning. But what if her bleeding already started at night? But again, the same schedule. Day on, day off, day on, day off. But her day on started the night prior. So then, all she has in those 18 days is only one day to be with her husband, and that's only going to be on the 8th day.
When you say at night, that means that every time she was going to be at night, the whole entire day.
Yeah. Next case. Case number 2. Shnei yamim tamim, shnei yamim taharim. Two on, two off. And again, just on that cycle of two on, two off. So, again, if you just chart it out, so you'll see. Meaning of the first 7 days of her being Anida, so days 1-2, day 5-6, she's going to be bleeding. Day 7, she won't be bleeding, but so what? Meaning she's Anida. And she's Anida for 7 days, whether she bleeds or she doesn't. So day 7, she is, even though she's not bleeding, forbidden to her husband. She'll tov on the mikvah on the eve of day 8. She can be with her husband on day 8. Now what happens on day 9? Back to bleeding. Day 9 and day 10, she's bleeding. Days 11 and days 12, she's not. Now, day 9 and day 10, what is that? She's a Zava Katana. She's not a Zava Gadola until she bleeds 3 consecutive days. So, on day 9 and day 10, she's bleeding. Day 11, Shomer Siyom Keneged Yom. She only needs to safeguard that one day of day 11. Day 12, she can be with her husband. Day 13, day 14, she's back to bleeding. 15, Shomer Siyom Keneged Yom. 16, she can be back with her husband. 17 and 18, she's bleeding. 19 and 20, well, 19 she could be with her husband. And then 20, well, right. Now we get back to our, you know, Rashi Rambam debate, meaning when does she start her Yemei Nida again? So according to Rashi and according to most Rishonim, it's the next time she bleeds. Okay? According to the Rambam, actually we'll be on day 20. But anyway. Okay? So
are you assuming she bled the night before day
1? No, let's just say for the purpose of this discussion, she bled on the day. On day 1, morning of day 1. So now, so the Mishnah says Shnei Yamim Tamei, Shnei Yamim Tahar, Mishamesh Shmini, Ushneimasar, Vishishasar, the Esrim. So she can have relations on, right? We went through the whole thing. On day 8, day 12, day 16, and day 20. Okay. Now, v'tishamesh v'tishsar. So the Gemara says, well, what's wrong with day 19? Now, what? Yeah, it's a great question. What is wrong with day 19? So, first of all, day 19, so what would you tell me? You'll tell me that day 19, she can't be with her husband because she needs shimur. In other words, Shomer Siyom Keneged Yom. So what we don't know yet, because the Gemara reserves this information for the last day of Masechet Anida. it comes up on the very last day. Ayin Beis Amud Beis. second to last day. Yeah, you have to wait. You have to wait till the Siyum to hear this, but you'll hear it now. Preview to what we're learning at the end of Masechta, and that's the following: that on the last day of her Yemei Ziva, that day does not require Shimur. Meaning that in the example that we just illustrated, where she's bleeding on day 17, day 18, I'm sorry. She bled on day 18, right? Day 19 does not require Shimur. The Gemara later on at the end will teach us. So if that's true, let's just assume it's true, which it is. So here, day 19, she's not bleeding. She doesn't need to do Shmira. So what's wrong with day 19? Why can't she be with her husband for day 19? So to which the Gemara is going to give two answers. Answer number one of the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshet Zosomer is Gargaron. Did not asur. So, answer number one is that we're going to see the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Beis, second to last Daf in the Masechta, and the Mishnah over there says that even though she doesn't require Shmira, husband should not be with his wife on that day. And the Mishnah uses a descriptive term, an adjective, to describe what if the husband has relations with his wife that day. And the Mishnah says that the husband is a Gargaron. Gargaron. It's a good Spanish word for it. it's not going to help you, but it's un chancho, meaning it's I don't know how to say it in English, but just right. It's just it's what's a good English word for gargaron?
Impatient.
Impatient. Right. Yeah. Okay. Impatient. So
overindulgent.
Overindulgent. Okay, yeah, right. Right. And it doesn't translate well to English, but it's like a pig. But, you know, that's... In Spanish, it sounds better. It works better. So anyway, so the... fine. So that's what the Mishnah says. But it's funny, when the Mishnah uses that term, that kind of adjective, like, what's the Mishnah saying? Meaning, it's okay, but it's not good midos? It means it's more than just not okay, it's really prohibited? Meaning when the Mishnah uses adjectives instead of saying mutter versus usser, so you're not sure. So now, one answer we could say in our Gemara over here is, when the Mishnah says gargaron, what the Mishnah means is, it's prohibited. Okay, should the Mishnah have been clear about it? Perhaps. But that's answer number one. Answer number two, says the Gemara, Look.
A glutton.
Oh, that's a good one. That is a good one. Look, in this particular scenario, it's not that she just bled on day 10. Remember that she went 2 days bleeding. She also bled on day 9 as well. So you're right. Day 11... If all she did was just bleed on day 10, and then all you have is Shmira of day 11, so you're right, you don't need Shimur. And I'll tell you what, you can even have relations. The Mishnah says they're Gargaron, so what the Mishnah means is, you really shouldn't do it. Not that it's prohibited, but you shouldn't. But here in this scenario, she bled on day 9 and on day 10. So the truth of the matter is that day 10 already required Shimur. But day 10, what was the issue? She bled on day 10. So in other words, the Shimur of day 10 was postponed to day 11. So in other words, day 11, she does require Shimur. Not because she bled on day 10, but because she bled on day 9, and that Shimur requirement for day 10 now is delayed to day 11. Okay, fine. Next case. We'll do one more, and then we'll have to break. Shloshi yamim tamemu, shloshi yamim tahorim, mishamesh shnei yamim, v'shuv einu mishamesh la'olam. Sad scenario. She goes on a schedule of 3 and 3. 3 days of bleeding, 3 days of no bleeding. So here it's extraordinarily sad. So just think it through. Follow the calendar. So the first 7 days, 3 of which she'll be bleeding, 3 she'll be not bleeding, but it doesn't matter. In other words, she's a nida. And then she'll start her bleeding again. Day 1 of her next 3 days is the end of her nida. The next 2 days of bleeding is her Yemei Ziva. But because it's only 2 days of bleeding, so therefore she is a Zava Katana, not a Zava Gadola.
Okay, hold on.
Right? It's great. In other words, all the rules are there. It's just a question of plugging in the rules. She's only Zava Katana. She's not a Zava Gadola. So that means now that the next 3 days are days of abeyance. She's no bleeding those next 3 days. One of those days is she's a Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. Okay? And the next 2 days she could be with her husband. But then what? Then the problem is that then she's going to experience 3 days of bleeding during her Yemei Ziva. That's going to make her a Zava Gadola. And now she lost it. Because once she's a Zava Gadola, now she needs to count Shiva Nikin, she needs to count 7 clean days. But because her schedule is 3 on, 3 off, 3 on, 3 off, she'll never be able to catch 7 clean days. 7 consecutive clean days. And so that will put her in a position in life where La'olam va'et, she will be prohibited because she'll never be able to catch up on her Shiva Nikin. Right. There's no solution. Problem with no solution. Okay, not a great way to end the daf. Tomorrow we're going to finish up. We have our 4 through 10. We finish up the perek tomorrow, and we start the new perek.